understanding that it will take a little bit of time, but you know, in 1 month you could be a new person.
Entrepreneurs love talking about business. However, it's no secret there's also so many things they love talking about which are not about business. In the Sea of Business podcasts, none of your business is a refreshing break, a surprise kiss, an afternoon fizz. Through Carla Singson's cheeky and radical takes on mundane and principle-heavy topics, you'll gain insights that guarantee you something to talk about on your first Tinder date, while visiting grandma, or if you want to impress your new boss. Big thanks to Proximity Outsourcing for sponsoring this episode. Outsource the most tedious tasks in your business, such as data management, appointment setting, and creatives, for less than $12 an hour, fully managed. Visit ProximityOutsourcing.com for more info. Tired of business podcasts? Tune in to None of Your Business. New episodes weekly.
Hello, good morning, everyone. And here we are again, another beautiful Monday morning and another episode of None of Your Business. I'm super excited for today. And I love really dropping these episodes because it's an excuse for me to have the conversations that I want to have. So today's going to be a fun one. I have one of my friends, Matt Smith. He's also one of our clients at Proximity Outsourcing. And honestly, we've known each other for a couple of years, and him and his wife run a really amazing business that helps roofers, remodelers, and home improvement companies generate leads, appointments, and sales with paid advertising. So our guest today is Matt Smith. He's the founder and CEO of Matt Smith Consulting. They do a lot of lead generation. They're badasses at paid advertising. If you know anyone who has a roofing company, remodelers, home improvement companies, and anyone in that industry, in that niche, definitely have a chat with them. Matt and Katie can help you out in their company. After testing over 10,000 ads in every market of the United States, he crafted the most profitable ads, Facebook ads, in the home improvement industry. Matt's advertising system has generated over $600 million in just 4 years and has been featured in Forbes, Success, and Men's Magazine. So Matt is obviously kicking ass in this category. He has worked with over 200 plus roofing companies and even like the top 20 roofers, right down to startups and really everyone in between. And today we're not going to talk about roofing, lead generation, and paid advertising. One other quality that Matt has is that he enjoys drinking from the skulls of his enemies. And so today we're going to talk about a very special topic that is not related to all of that, but actually related to having energy, having honestly, we're also going to touch a little bit on substance abuse, what we think about it. But yeah, I'll let you take over. So Matt, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for that intro. Built me up here. No pressure.
No pressure. So for people who are listening, I'm now on Central Time Zone and I currently live in Playa del Carmen, Mexico, and Matt lives in Australia. So what right now it's like 2 p.m. for me. What time is it over there, Matt?
It is 5 a.m. in sleepy Australia on Friday. So we are in the future. I already know this call went well.
Right. So at 5 a.m., he's just alive and kicking, recording a podcast. And so I think the way that we planned this episode is that we just made a few jokes about drugs on Facebook, as we always do. And then I was like, are you down to like talk about it? And then he was like, yeah, I think it would be good. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, drugs, substance abuse, and fake and real sources of energy, how these affects entrepreneurs. Very quick story. Can you tell us how you got started in business and what your journey was like helping all these roofers just blow up their business?
Yeah, sure. So when I was getting started in life, I was trying to make it as a professional rugby league player. So in my early 20s, I was semi-professional slash professional, but I kept getting injured. I had a lot of surgeries on shoulders, knees, neck, ankle, broken far too many bones. And within that, I started getting prescribed lots of painkillers I'd had with all the surgeries I was having. So I started to get like addicted to painkilling medication and stuff like that, which soon turned into addictions for things like cocaine and ecstasy. And this went on from like the ages of 20 through to 26. And because of that, I got myself into quite a lot of trouble with drugs. I had to go serve a couple of years in prison for drugs. So yeah, when I got out, there wasn't a lot of opportunities available for me based on the choices that I had made. And I landed a job doing tax and financial planning. That's what I'm qualified in. And
just
when
like
I
any
thought
other
life
felon.
Was, yeah, exactly. When I got out and I landed a good job, I thought I'd turn my life around. I actually fell down a flight of stairs head first and nearly broke my neck, messed me up really, really bad. I was bedridden for over a year. Just in an effort to try and get back out into the land of the living, I took a position with a friend's company doing commercial cleaning, building and renovation. I moved towns. Moved up to a little country town, took on this position where they had next to no work, started to get some traction with it quickly. It was something that I could actually do, just going around, talking to people, managing teams, helping, trying to grow the business. And I was like, I started to get addicted to that. And I wanted to figure out how to grow it even further. So I joined an American mastermind that taught social media branding, positioning, and everything else. I started advertising for that business. I was naturally good at it, good at it straight out of the gate. And it was in that group that I started meeting roofers and home improvement companies in the US. And one of them who actually introduced me to you, Mr. Tim Nusbeck, happened to be one of the biggest roofers in America. I had no idea at that stage. But I set up some ads for him. They went viral. They absolutely dominated. They did a few million dollars in 6 weeks. He started sharing those results online. And then I was swarmed with roofers all across America. I started running ads in pretty much every market of the US. And it was at that point I made the decision to start Matt Smith Consulting to help roofers and home improvement guys. And it blew up quickly. We had 30 clients in our first month. We had 50 clients after 3 months. And just in 6 months, we had 65 roofers in pretty much every market of the US. That was 4 years ago now, and we've just grown ever since.
That's awesome. Yeah, I oh my God, I haven't heard Tim's name in like a few years, probably.
Yeah.
I actually just shot him a quick message right now, and I said, hey, Matt's on my podcast, and we want to say hi and tell you how awesome you are. yeah, so I love that. I love that story. And you know, there's definitely something special about certain entrepreneurs who have had something in their past that made them say, not anymore. You know, like when you had that experience being in prison, doing drugs, and obviously some negative things, right? Like definitely not healthy for you. And you know, a lot of like not very good memories, but also a lot of learning. And so right now you're running this business, and it's growing consistently. Can you tell us a little bit about like how does your regular day look like? You know, so now we know you wake up at 5, and how does the rest of the day look like?
Yeah, sure. So because I made that decision, I wanted to have a business that operates in America. I love the American mindset, so hungry, so eager to win. Whereas in Australia, people are a bit more like cost conscious, bit more timid, very worried about, you know, shit. Whereas in America, we just want to fucking win. Right. So I loved that. That and the market is just so big. It's like, it's endless. There's a million home improvement companies. So I'm like, all right, well, if I'm going to do it, I want to do it over there. I love this place. Right. That's where I've got results. And because of that, I have to get up nice and early. I have to start calls at 5 a.m. or even 4:30. So my day starts at 4. I'll get up, do my morning routine, shower, try and get rid of brain fog. I put the shower on nice and cold to wake myself up. And then, yeah, my I work to a calendar. So I'm normally booked out every day from 5 a.m. through till either 11 or 12 with either sales calls, client calls, training calls, podcast content, things like that. And then once that wraps up, I get into working in the business, and then after that we work on the business. So it's a pretty hectic day. I also ensure that every day I have time scheduled in for my beautiful little girl and my wife, and things like going to the gym or getting treatment. I still have ongoing issues from falling down those stairs. So yeah, I have a very dialed in routine that's it's intense, but I get a lot out of my days because I work to that structure.
Yeah. Also, like, when you are really in that growth mode, you know, they say the first 1,000 days of your business, it's really hustle, it's growth, and you know, whatever that means to you. So if you're doing a lot of content, then it's a lot of creating content and marketing your content. If you're doing lead generation or calls by yourself, then it's a lot of that. And so it's like hustle in many ways. Have your business crossed that 1,000 days?
Yeah, so we got started, it's been full-time for 4 years. So it's been going for 5 years.
4 years.
Yeah, so we would have crossed that. And yes. Definitely, yeah. That and having having a beautiful little girl in between that is it's pretty hectic. But that's what we signed up for. And yeah, there's a lot of hustle, a lot of sweat equity that goes into it.
Absolutely.
But it's what I wanted to do. Like, I knew what I was getting myself into, and I love it.
Yeah, I think for us entrepreneurs, there are days that are just awesome, right? Like, I love it when, so we have a subscription business. I love it when there's a certain week of the month where a lot of our subscriptions hit. And in that week, I just feel so good, right? And yeah. So there's that. And then there's days where you don't have to do a lot of things, but there's also days that are long. And then there's other rewarding moments in your life, either financially or in terms of time or location freedom, that you think, you know what, starting a business and doing the hard thing, choosing the hard path is absolutely worth it. So
yeah,
you mentioned earlier that you were addicted to painkilling medications and a lot of other stuff like cocaine and maybe other uppers. So now that you're not doing that, you're more focused on your business, you have a healthy lifestyle, you have a daughter, soon to be two, that you have to be an amazing role model for. Plus, you have to be a husband, the leader of your household. Jeez, so many hats. So how do you now naturally keep your energy high? What do you do? Can you give us some advice?
That's a great question. So I know an absolute shit ton about energy for good reasons and bad. And whilst I can talk from a place of experience in someone who's gone through chronic fatigue. So back when I was taking lots of drugs in my early 20s, I contracted glandular fever, which, if anyone knows anything about that, or, you know, Ross River fever or chronic fatigue syndrome, they're all very similar. You're essentially, you wake up, you're feeling tighter than when you went to sleep. So there were periods in life where I was bedridden I couldn't get out of bed for 15, 18 hours a day, just laying there. You could endless tiredness, walking to like the end of your driveway, you'd be ready for bed. So it's just horrid. So instead of dealing with that, I would take uppers. I didn't look into what was actually going on with my body. And because I had that addictive personality, I was taking the wrong types of things to try and get energy. From simple things like coffee and stuff like Red Bull, right up to like using cocaine and stuff like that. Because I just didn't want to accept that there was something wrong, and I'm a highly driven sort of person. And that was just an absolute mess and chaos that I created for myself that I'm still dealing with to this day, the abuse that I sort of had on, like did to my body for such a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing I recognized, it's probably a year ago now,
mm-hmm.
was that I was very, very tired. I was struggling to get energy. So when I would start my day, I'd have a big coffee, like right. within 10 minutes of waking up, massive coffee, have a huge hit of energy, jumble through my words, tell people on calls like, oh, I've just had a big coffee, blah, blah, blah. And then I would crash out heavily in the afternoon and have absolutely nothing left. And the best thing that I did, and Katie instigated this, my beautiful wife, we went and got like full blood counts, not from a doctor, from like a, well, they were a doctor, but not a normal general like GP. Went and saw a health expert that is super dialed into both natural and normal medicine, but also natural stuff. Got like all my levels read. A holistic doctor.
Yeah. I love that.
And the reason why the holistic, like a GP will look, if you get your full blood count, they'll look at your levels and go, yeah, that's sort of within range. Nothing mm-hmm. too bad there. But you might have some huge deficiencies that are causing massive problems with energy that you don't know mm-hmm. about. And Katie and myself, we were both the same. We had some horrid deficiencies in things like the adrenal system. Mm-hmm. Body wasn't there's so many issues, like the stress hormone was through the roof,
mm-hmm.
Testosterone was low. So all the different things that go into having good, clean energy, mm-hmm. I was heavily deficient in. So my tip, as a starting point, you need to know where you're at. Go and see a holistic doctor, get all your levels checked, and then they can come up with a plan to show you what you're deficient in. The number one thing is sleep. This is something I don't do anywhere near as well as I should,
mm-hmm.
but getting decent sleep is the starting point to it all. Drinking lots of water, stuff we all know.
Right.
And it's really hard to do when you are an entrepreneur because you burn the candle at both ends. But as someone who has burnt themselves out both many years ago and then recently in the last 4 years, I've consistently done it sort of every 3 months. I strongly recommend that you put boundaries in place, and it starts by seeing that holistic doctor and knowing where you're actually at so that they can create a plan with you to work on your health.
Right. I think the big thing that I love that what you shared is really taking a data-driven approach, right? So you do paid ads. You're like one of the best, honestly, in like lead generation in your industry. And so you're a numbers guy, you're a data guy, right? You appreciate it. And so you kind of took the same approach to your health. And this is the thing that I want other entrepreneurs to also do, because, you know, we look at our P&L, we look at our bank account. So we like numbers, but we need to apply, you know, other ways to look at numbers in other areas of our lives. So I love that. I love what you shared about getting your hormones checked, getting your blood work done, and having it dictate what to do next. So, you know, to everyone listening, if you can have like one takeaway, this is the thing. This is the golden nugget for sure. How did you wean off?
I didn't do that for years. Mm-hmm. And I was just question mark, always feeling tired,
mm-hmm.
No results. And it's thanks to Katie. She's like, Matt, this is bullshit. What are you doing? Like, yeah, fair enough. So she did the research. So don't do what I did there. Start like do the right thing straight away. Kick ass.
Yeah, do the right thing and listen to your wife. That's the big lesson here.
Not always, but on the right stuff.
Okay. All right. Calm down. I'm going to edit that out. I love that. I love that. You know, taking a data driven and also this is, guys, this is the most honest that you can get to your health results, because this is just showing what you're needing supplements for. We will not always get the perfect diet, no matter how much we try. It's just not that easy, right? We are nutrient deficient in certain ways. We don't get everything from food. And then the other thing is that you could also use these tests to find out about, say, the pollution level, metal poisoning in your body, how much, if you're using too many chemicals in your like household, like sometimes these tests would also show that. And God forbid, parasites, right?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people are just like walking around with parasites in their body.
That's what they found for me and Katie. Yeah? Had ton, mm-hmm. like, yeah, really bad gut bugs.
Right.
Parasites. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, definitely, you know, after you turn 30, you start thinking about these health things, and it's such a big investment, but it's so worth it. If you have money to buy a Gucci bag or a Mustang or whatever, these tests, get them, guys. It will cost you a few thousand dollars, but it's so worth it. And I can attest to this because I actually have a weird allergy. I'm allergic to coffee and caffeine. And so I can't do caffeine. And so I have to be fully awake and fully mentally sharp to run my business. And so I had to manage my health and eat a certain way to not get brain fog and also supplement a certain way. The other thing that you mentioned, Matt, was sleep. And I love discussing sleep. This is one of the things I'm really passionate about. What are the things that you do now to improve your sleep, especially because you're starting very early? What time do you sleep and what do you do to make your sleep quality high?
Yeah, great question. So this is an area I've struggled with for a long time, especially mm-hmm. with my neck injury. I struggle to sleep more than 4 or 5 hours straight. Just because of the, you know, I'll wake up due to pain and stuff like that. But when I don't do it well, it's I've started really early. This would be, just sounds so stupid and simple, but when I'm not doing it well, it's because I wake up really early, so 4 or 4:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. Big day, all on the calendar, work, family, then go back to business later at night, mm-hmm. And just going to bed far too late. On computers, and then like getting four or five hours of broken sleep, that's a recipe for disaster. Mm-hmm. When I do it well, it's when I've set a boundary. I'm like turning all devices off, mm-hmm. 10 or 10:30 p.m. at the latest. And for me, just because I would struggle to do the 8 hours just because of my next. But if I go to bed at like turn everything off at 10, go to bed at 10:30. And then wake up at around 4 or 4:30. That's really good for me. And the process that I went through with the holistic sort of the doctor and then a naturopath and stuff like that, they gave me some really good supplements that helped me start dreaming again. Because for a long time, I wouldn't dream. I don't know if it's meant to, like, if that's the purpose of it, but it helps with sleep, helps getting you into better deep sleep. And I noticed I started dreaming again, which helps clear out the brain fog, which I was heavily affected for by quite a long time.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
I love that. Can you share some of these supplements with us? Like, guys, please remember, Matt and I are business people. We're not doctors. This is not medical advice. Don't be stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I can definitely get that for you. Do you want me to chase it down now or just after the show?
Oh, I just thought that you had it at top of your head. But if you want to look for it, it's fine. I would love to share mine. I have a day and night supplement stack. During the day, I drink NMN, berberine, inositol, omega-3, like fish oil, and and B vitamins. And this stack is specifically for my condition. So I have PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, which means like I have cysts in my ovary. I could be a candidate like for some cervical problems. And my insulin level is not good. You know, I'm like insulin resistant and it's easy for me to gain weight. And my hormones are just all over the place. And so this supplement stack that I have helps with my insulin and my mood. and staying focused as well. And so I don't, so I also have energy, and also it keeps my mitochondria healthy. So it is different. And honestly, it's frustrating having that condition. It's very unspoken, by the way. A lot of women, especially in developing countries, actually have this condition. So I can go into a rabbit hole discussing this some other time, but definitely look it up. And if you or your partner have PCOS or your family member, definitely read up about it, because it's not easy to have this condition. Actually, I feel privileged to be able to, you know, afford these supplements and have functional medicine doctors help me with this condition. My night supplement stack is ashwagandha. I think it is now one of the best, it is now peer reviewed and proven to really help with sleep quality. Magnesium glycinate, tryptophan, which also helps with stress and having a good mood, and magnesium and GABA. So
yeah,
that's my supplement stack at night. And sometimes I still take a little bit of melatonin, a very small dose, and or weed.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Yeah. What about you? Do you remember some of the supplements you take?
Yeah, it's a, like, I'm on a big stack, because when I got all my results, she's like, I don't even know how you're functioning. Same with Katie. So yeah, we were on a big plan to like cleanse the gut, because I had some bad bugs in there that essentially, some of these bugs, you know, they make you put on weight. They don't let the nutrients go into your body. They absorb all that. They tell you they're the ones that want sugar at 2 and 3 p.m., those high cravings that everyone gets at that crash period.
Right.
So I was on a plan to, well, I still am, on a plan to cleanse the gut, to reduce inflammation. So there's like 4 or 5 different products for that specifically. The one I was referring to that helps with sleep is called Nervagesic. And yeah, it's really, really good. Natural product. Helps like actually get decent sleep. I was deficient in zinc, so I'm on a zinc supplement. I was deficient in my adrenal system, essentially wasn't functioning. So to help improve that, I was on a couple of different things. A fair few other things that you mentioned, but yeah, I would say the main ones are like zinc, magnesium. There's a few different things for energy.
Do you take any nootropics for focus?
Yeah,
that's good too.
Yeah, definitely.
I love that. So, obviously, all of these things, these supplements are like good inputs for your body. In the, some of the earlier years of your life, you had some bad inputs. So can you tell us a little bit, what was it like weaning from all of those drugs, all those bad stuff? Probably your diet was also probably shit that time. You're probably eating a lot of bad food also. Did you experience bad withdrawals? Was it easy or was it hard? And if someone is going through that transition, what is your advice?
Yeah, great question. So I would go through periods of eating phenomenally well, training like a powerhouse, and then abusing the body with drugs and bad food and alcohol and so it's just like yo-yo to the max of either good extremes or bad extremes. So once I got in trouble, I just immediately sort of made the decision to start doing the right thing. And I went through like self-imposed rehab. So I didn't notice too much of a like withdrawals and things like that, because my body was fairly resilient or fairly used to being bashed up. So that process was fairly, that was okay. It was coming off things like sleeping tablets and Valium and They did a lot more damage than the drugs did at the time. I'm dealing with a lot of the drug abuse issues now, or it's mm-hmm. been an ongoing process. And same too with the painkilling medication. Like when I fell down the stairs and banged up my neck really bad for probably 5 years, I was on very heavy doses of high-end sort of pain medication. And coming off that stuff, again, it wasn't that bad for me that I can remember, but the effects on the brain, you know, the inability to think quickly and stuff like that, it's definitely been a long sort of drawn out thing. And I kind of look at it like it's a process, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like what goes up must come down to get back to level. So if you put your body out of whack doing all the wrong things, it is going to take some time. Right. But with a consistent approach, things get better every day. In terms of withdrawal, even some of the worst drugs in the world, it can be out of your system in 2 to 4 weeks. Like it is a hard battle to go through that withdrawal. And that's why a lot of addicts don't do it. But you can get through it. People have probably been through worse. Mm-hmm. Whilst it might seem a little bit hopeless at the time, just one day at a time, left foot, right foot, one step at a time.
Right.
You can get through it. Yeah.
I guess the
best thing that anyone can do, this is one thing I learned going through rehab, is that if you have an addictive personality, which most entrepreneurs do, but if you do have that, you need to replace one addiction with another one, which doesn't sound healthy, but you got to make it healthy. So I replaced it with business, which again, you know, like there's many upsides to that. But if you can take something that was taking your time and focus it on something good, you can be in a very good place. And that's what I would recommend. Like, understanding that it will take a little bit of time, but you know, in 1 month you could be a new person. That's not that long, really.
Exactly. You're right. Some people also, we've heard so many success stories of people who just gone cold turkey, right? Whether it's alcohol, nicotine, drugs, whatever. Sometimes you don't even need a moment in your life that like a negative or a bad, you know, tragedy to happen in order for you to wake up and do the good things. I love the advice of one step at a time. And, you know, I think that you also need to self-motivate in such a way that you give yourself a pat on the back for every day that you succeeded, because yeah. Every little success, you know, it will snowball. Every little success is a little trophy, or, you know, it gives you dopamine. It gives you like rewarding feelings. It's like watching your Stripe account, you know, every $7 sale feels good. Right. And so treat it like that. Even, you know, today, if you're trying to start the habit of going to the gym, I had this decision, to go to the gym regularly, I think in 2017, when I moved to a condo with a gym, and my rent was very high at that time. But honestly, it was also a very special moment of my life where I decided to really invest in my home. I think I paid $1,000 for a one bedroom. And this is in 2017, and this is in the Philippines. So that is pretty high. I think honestly, it was the most expensive apartment in town, but I wanted to kind of show myself that I'm ready for the next level of my life.
Yeah.
And so it was this condo, very high end, and they had a beautiful gym, huge gym with a dance studio. And I'm like, I'm not putting this gym to waste. And I started working out, and I've been skinny all my life. And so I just never, you know, had to work out, even though I ate shit. And I just remember my first, I think, honestly, 3 minutes in the elliptical, I was dying. I was just dying, and I was cursing. But then I did it. I lasted, I think, 5 minutes. And after that, I did some stretches. And then after, I ate a shawarma. And then the next day, I came back. And then I did 10 minutes. The next day, I came back. I did 15. And now, you know, 6 years later, it would be very rare for me to not go to the gym at least 5 times a week. It's just now a part of my life. And even when my husband and I travel, we would use it as a filter. Only stay at places with a gym and or walkable places. So if we can't work out and we want like a house in front of the ocean, and because it's so beautiful, we'll take it. But we have to have some sort of exercise, just part of my life. So it does get easier.
Yeah. That's the thing. You got to be real, be honest with yourself. Mm-hmm. Understand what you're going to go through. So if the plan is to give up on something that you've been taking for a long time,
yeah,
whether it's alcohol, I have read and seen that like alcohol withdrawals for heavy alcohol drinkers can be very, very tough, can mm-hmm. be dangerous too. So with you do want to seek some professional help. I did go cold turkey, mm-hmm. which is, you know, some people can do that, some can't. I get that. But mm-hmm. just understand what you're in for. Okay. So day one, yeah, you're going to feel like shit. You're mm-hmm. going to be tired. You're going to be cranky. You're going to be moody. You've abused your body for a long period of time. It's not going to be happy with you. That is day one. You got to get through right. that. Then you can focus on day two. It's going to be slightly less shitty than day one. And right, exactly. if all you do is take just a few steps forward, like maybe it's just going for a walk around the block, getting some sun, feeling the earth. That's day two. Mm-hmm. That's another win. And it is about the momentum that you mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
One day at a time, think about where you will be in 14 days, in 30 days. It all stacks up.
Right. I love that. And speaking of habits, momentum, there is an app that I like and I would love to share it with you guys. So it's called Direction. And you can create certain tasks around certain habits and you can just check it off. And right now, that app, it's actually free. That app also comes with AI coaching, like some mindset coaching. You can like chat with the AI, like if you want to get some advice and get motivation. So yeah, guys, like also remember that technology helps us a lot. Like I have a wearable that I super love and it's $35. I have a Huawei smartwatch that helps me count my steps, monitor the calories that I burn with my workout, and also has an analysis on the oxygen I have in my blood and the quality of my sleep. So $35. I've owned this for many years. If there's a new model, I always buy the new model. I would say I buy a new one every 2 years. And you don't even need a subscription. You can just download the app. And even if you have an iPhone, you just download the Huawei Health app. And it's such a good investment. Do you use any wearables, Matt, or anything to monitor your health?
I do have it, but I haven't been using it lately. I'll get into periods of like doing well with it, tracking uh-huh. sleep, and same with watches and stuff like that. But for now, it's just been like blood tests and general checkups with the health team.
Yeah, which is the best. I think some people also wear, like the more hardcore ones, they wear like a glucose monitor or something so that they can analyze, yeah, what kind of foods give them like a glucose spike. I met someone who was wearing a continuous glucose monitor. So I was like, that's kind of badass.
I like that.
But yeah, so I think a lot of people with my condition specifically would appreciate that as well. Right now, with your new habits, your new schedule, do you still go through days where you're kind of just not feeling it, or you're getting on like a motivation funk? And what do you do to fix it?
Yeah. Yeah, you're never going to be 100% every day. As busy individuals with families or with other commitments, Like it's going to happen. It's going to be part of it. There's a couple of different things that I do. If I've pushed too hard, and you know, I know I will start after a while, I'll start to realize that the answer isn't working more. And one thing Katie and I have done probably in the last few months is we actually put it in our calendar to have personal time. So Katie will go Tuesday, Thursday. I'll go Monday, Wednesday. And in that personal time, it's either a gym session, it's treatment, it's going to things like, oh, what do you guys call it? It's like a magnesium bath where they like close you in.
Oh, interesting.
Tank things. What are they called?
Oh, the flotation tank?
Yeah, we do that stuff. But just refilling your cup.
Right.
You've got to recognize when you're not functioning at a high level or even an acceptable level. Uh-huh. So it's things like that. Or alternatively, it could just be having more rest.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, because I'll notice like when it takes me an hour to do a 10 or 15 minute task, I know I'm up shit's creek and it's time to make it a change. That's one thing I think a lot of people get bogged down on. Like, oh, I'm working all these hours. I'm at my computer for this year. But what did you actually produce? Are you in a position to even be productive? Do you need to have a break? Do you need to get out and away from the screen? Do you need to go and exercise? Do something different? That's what Katie and I do when we notice we're in a funk. That's the little things that we do. And then for something bigger, for when it's like a big, big burnout, which I've sadly got too much experience of, but at least I can provide good advice on it. We'll go away for a weekend because that's something that we love doing. Go away as a family,
right.
Go to, you know, we want to move to a different part of the country. So we'll go and stay there, get a shit hot Airbnb as a bit of a reward for our hard work and things like that. And it just helps reset, refocus. We actually do that. We plan it out at the start of the year to do that quarterly anyway, but it might be on top of that. That's one thing that we've designed with our business, the way that we want to do it. We know we work very hard, but we also need to recognize when we push too hard that we need to take care of ourselves, because I've done it the other way too. And by pushing too hard and not sleeping and burning the candle at both ends, what ends up happening, I'm in a spot where I can like barely function. I would do, you know, 3 or 4 hours of calls and then I'd have to crawl back into bed. And this went on for weeks. Like when I pushed way too hard and gone through heavy, heavy burnout, I've probably done that 4 times in the last 4 years. So you got to recognize that shit, because you're no good to anyone when you got to crawl back into bed after a few hours of work. You can't function as the leader and like as the both from the family and for business, you got to look after yourself.
Exactly. I love that. A lot of people definitely are holding that position, you know, especially men, you know, our male entrepreneurs, they're often the leader of their business and also the leader of their household. For me as a woman, I love being a woman because I am the leader of my business, but after work, I just can be my, a baby girl, and I can be a princess in the house, and my man takes care of me. And the point about having vacations, you know, a reset or a focus, for everyone listening, this is not a limitation on what you can afford. To be honest, you would be surprised, a walk in the park or a nap or like ice cream, watching a stand-up comedy special on Netflix provides just like a little bit of breathing space into your life. So a vacation is great, but what really needs a vacation here is your brain. And that's really it. And so sometimes other ways that you can do that are obviously some of the ways that I mentioned. You could even start reading fiction, take a break from business books, start reading fiction, something exciting, something romantic if you're into a romance novel. So these things are as a point of, you know, as Matt shared, a point of reset and a point of refocus can mean different things to us, and it's not limited to spending a lot of money or going on a shopping spree or going on vacation. So what about your mental health, Matt? What are the things that you do to keep your, to take care of your mental health? And how has, I know that being healthy physically is great, but as a leader in your business, I know you also have to have good mental health. And now that you don't do any of those bad substances, you're now sober from all those drugs and everything. What do you now do to take care of your mental health?
Yeah, great question. I love that. That was like, that's 13 years ago. That's like a lifetime ago now.
Yeah, you're a different person.
Good, huh? Yeah. Yeah. So mental health, it's, you know, you've got to look at what are you surrounding yourself with? What are you wanting? And what are you, so you've got to be in control. So first thing that I had to do was I had to cut ties or stop following or disconnect from people that were negative, that were complainers, that just, you know, they whinge or they were, they kind of put you down, whether it's like a backhanded sort of way. They're not supporters, right? You don't need that shit. You got enough problems as it is. You need good people around you. You need good people on the bus, like on your journey. So you got to protect yourself. That's not an easy thing to do. And I feel like that number one is it's an ongoing process that you have to always be assessing. What do you want out of life? Who do you want to do it with? The second thing that I feel like helps mental health, and this is a game changer, is you need to surround yourself with people who have things that are very similar to you going on, because they are the ones who are most likely to actually understand what you're going through. As an example, if you're a business owner with kids, you're going to get the most understanding and connection out of someone else who's a business owner that have kids, or, you know, they've got that family orientated sort of mindset, or they actually get it. Even as a business owner, if you're, whilst you can have friends that are, you know, they work for someone, and, you know, working for someone's very noble. It's a different type of mindset to understand the challenges that you go through. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to be on the same wavelength. So I would recommend surrounding yourself with very similar people. Mm-hmm. Step three, you want people in your corner that have done the things that you seek to. And I invest heavily in mentorship, so that you've got, you know, people who've done, like I just said, done the things that you want to do in your corner, who can advise you, who can guide you when things go wrong. They already have the answers because they've been through it.
Right.
The fourth thing is making a plan for yourself of, you know, the boundaries that you're going to live by. Your non-negotiables, they need to go into your diary.
Right.
For me, it's time with family. It's time in the gym training. My gym training is essentially a mix of rehab and gym because I've got so many injuries. But I like even that as a process to go through for people who've got addictions. Like when I went back to the gym, I used to be an absolute powerhouse, very, very strong individual. When I went back to the gym, I could barely lift the bar. I was in such a bad way, but I made a plan to be consistent. I've been training there two or three times a week for the last few years.
Nice.
And I'm now in a position where I've got some real strength again, and I can actually function and be a dad. That was my goal. But it's getting those things that you want to do on your calendar. If you say, I might go to the gym at the end of the week, you're not going to go. Whereas at least if it's on your calendar and scheduled in, you've got a high likelihood of doing it. And then, you know, you've got to get your sleep right as best you can. It's the number one. Got to get your diet right. These things all play into having good mental health. Getting those things right play a huge, huge part in having a really strong and consistent mental health.
Okay. Yeah. You're right. So I love those advice, because the one that you mentioned about, you know, just put it in your calendar, schedule it in. It's so underrated. And along with that, if I could add, writing things down, the act of writing things down. I'm such a paper girl. I have like a paper planner. I have like a home planner for like just stuff in our house and bills. I have my idea notebook where I write down my ideas. I have my journal. I have my money journal. And so I love these activities. But also even just on your phone, writing things down, keeping a calendar, scheduling it in. There's so many things that people always say, oh, I want to do this. I want to do this someday. And they keep saying they're going to do it, but they never do. And it's because they're setting themselves up to fail. They don't even calendar or schedule it in. They don't set aside time for it. And so if you're just, it's not just going to come to your life. It's not like the feeling of pooping where, you know, oh, I feel like I need to poop. Guess I got to poop now. Like, it's not like that. you have to have the initiative and the mental fortitude to like plan for these things if you really want them to happen. So,
what gets written down gets remembered. Yeah. I'm a paper guy too.
Mm-hmm.
It's been proven that when you take notes, when you write it down, when you put it out into the real world by doing that, you read it back. You'll either remember it or do it 70% more than just saying it. Even that language, I'm going to, that's shit language. I will go to the gym at 2 p.m. Yeah. At least you can hold yourself accountable to be, oh, I might do that later.
Yeah. Yeah. The wording is very important. And if I could add to that as well, one of the most kind of life-changing things that also worked for me is really sitting with yourself and deciding on your identity. So to give an example, you know, you used to be, would you consider yourself a drug addict like in the past?
Yeah.
Okay. Definitely. So I wanted to be careful about calling you a drug addict. I might get a cease and desist. Your lawyer might like, you might sue me, but yeah, former. So for example, you're the kind of person that used to take a lot of drugs and then you're a drug addict. And so that is your identity. And then you decide like, oh, you know, I'm not going to do drugs anymore. This is bad for me. I'm going to change my life. And then you start thinking, I'm going to stop doing drugs. And so that is a good thought. It is a positive thought. You're in the right direction. But it is like, I am going to stop doing drugs. And so a more powerful thing is obviously like what you said, I will stop doing drugs. And then to make it more powerful, you can say, I am not doing drugs anymore. So that is also a wording that I learned from my friend who used to smoke a lot. And he was like, I don't smoke anymore. So adding that wording at the end really leaves it behind in your past. So that's also powerful wording. But the most powerful wording, I learned this from a coach that I worked in the past, she told me, is really deciding on your identity. And so saying something instead of focusing on the action, like doing drugs or smoking, drinking alcohol, if you focus on the identity, such as I am not a drug addict anymore, or I am not a drug addict and that's not who I am. I am a clean person. I'm focused. I am a good father. So once you change your identity and you go through that, something changes in like your cellular level, and it's going to be much, much easier for you to follow through with the habits, because the habits that you now have and the actions that you're now taking have to be aligned with the identity that you have in your mind. So did you go through this
super rabbit hole there?
Yeah.
Cause that's the thing, like what the subconscious hears when you say, I'm not a drug addict anymore. It's just drug addict. That's what will stand through. But you want to go that positive route. Hey, I'm a father. I'm a role model. I'm a business owner who wants to live a clean and happy life.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yeah. And it's very hard to fight because it's your identity, you know, and it's, I think my coach also said it's, Even if you end up kind of slipping a little bit, it doesn't hurt you. So for example, you used to be an alcoholic, and obviously this is just an example, not an ideal situation. And then you used to be an alcoholic, used to drink a lot, now you're sober. And then there's Thanksgiving dinner and they're celebrating. And for example, someone opened a bottle of Screaming Eagle, which is this like at least $3,000 bottle of wine. Wow. And you're like, oh my God, what a moment. And you want to take a sip, but you're like, I don't drink anymore. And so having that identity, that being fully secure that you're not an alcoholic anymore, you can take a sip of that wine out of curiosity, right? And you're not going to go back to being an alcoholic, and you're only going to taste it, which was your initial intention. And you're not going to just get drunk off of it. I mean, it's very expensive, but also like, you know, it's a way to stop yourself from doing like this bad relapse, you know, that could go a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree for sure.
Yeah. So, cool. Well, we're now about to end the episode. I love that we talked about how you changed your life, and we opened up that conversation on substance abuse, having fake sources of energy. So I'm going to have a cheeky question for you. So right now, knowing what you know and where you are in your life, if you could recommend one fake source of energy, what would it be and why?
Yeah, good question. One fake source of energy.
Is it a chocolate cake or should you electrocute yourself, slap your face?
Well, the best one is, and it's not fake, and drug addicts, former drug addicts will appreciate it, is the cold plunge or the cold shower. Because you get the endorphin hit, like you get more endorphins. Or dopamine rather, you get the same hit as what you would, snorting up cocaine. It's weird to say that, but anyway, that's been proven. So that's been cool. I've been doing that for the last month. I'm like, fuck it. It's middle of winter. It's freezing. I'm just going to have cold showers. See how that goes. But yeah, that's been really good. Helps clear the brain fog. Looking at some good nootropics. These aren't really, I guess these aren't fake, but there's some really good nootropics out there that will help.
What is the thing that, hold on, let me, actually my nootropic bottle is right here, my workstation. L-theanine, L-tyrosine, I think those are, those are like the two common things to look for your nootropic supplement. I like that idea too.
I love that. I take this one product that was, it's called Vital Greens. And it's essentially every type of nutrient you could ever want. It got given to me when I had chronic fatigue, and it was one of the things that really helped turn that corner. I think if you do need a caffeine hit, don't do it in the first 90 minutes or 60 to 90 minutes of waking up, because if you do, you do that, you'll stunt your adrenal and you'll be very tired for, you know, from probably 11 a.m. through to 3 p.m. you'll be dog shit. Mm-hmm. So if you are going to have coffee or a V or something like that, do it that way if you do need to. And then look at some nootropics. There's things like modafinil. That's a great one. If that's available to you, it's a great nootropic, helps with focus and stuff like that.
Yeah, I like modafinil. It used to help me also write a lot better. Thankfully it's easy to get here where I am, but it's fully legal, it's fully safe. I think someone even gave it a nickname of Adderall, pregnant women like safe Adderall or something, which is a pretty funny nickname, but you know, don't get any ideas, Katie. But yeah, well, you know, thank you so much, Matt, for sharing us your story and sharing us your experiences. Matt Smith is also home to a lot of super funny memes, so you should definitely follow him on social media. Where can we find you, and how can we follow all of the fun things you're doing?
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, if you want to be entertained, shocked, inspired, and everything in between, see our crazy journey, my beautiful wife, my beautiful little girl, and another one on the way. She's due in 1 month today. How crazy. If you want to check that stuff out, just look me up on Facebook. That's where I hang out the most. Mm-hmm. It's just my name, M-A-T. I dropped one of the T's because there's so many Matt Smiths, but M-A-T space S-M-I-T-H. Look me up. You'll find me pretty quick. I'm the dude with who's drinking from skulls and all that good stuff. I have a podcast called the I Drink From Skulls podcast, which Carla rock starred on recently. So if you want to check out some stuff about business and life and cool characters, cool people, check me out there. And then my social media handle is the only Matt Smith. That's all I use on every social media channel. You can find me either on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, all the normal places.
Cool, cool beans. Thank you. So find him, Matt Smith. That's just M-A-T Smith on Facebook. And we will also link all the socials in the show notes if you want to follow him. And if you are in the business of roofing, home improvement, and in that category, basically, definitely check him out. You know, have a conversation and see how Matt's company can help you. I have personally seen them change the trajectory of so many businesses going from 7 to 8 figures in that realm. And it would be such a great gift for you to also have the same experience. So they also have an amazing team. We work together and absolutely make me proud to just be a contributor to their growth. So thank you so much, Matt. And thank you for gracing my podcast. And to everyone listening, follow Matt. And if you can also give us a rating for this podcast, if you liked it, or leave us a reply if you have any suggestions, my DMs are also open. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for yet another super fun episode of None of Your Business. See you all next week. Bye.
Thanks for having me.
So it's a wrap. To my entrepreneur friends, I hope that you found this episode interesting and enjoyable. I know I did. Big thanks to our sponsor, Proximity Outsourcing, for making this possible. If you need to outsource anything in your business so you can scale fast and easy, visit proximityoutsourcing.com and check out their solutions. If there's any topic that you want to request, feel free to reach out. I only have 2 conditions. You tell me why you find it interesting, and you promise it's not business talk. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, and leave us a comment or review because you're cool like that. This is your host, Carla, and thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your interest in fun stories. Now we can get back to business. See you next week. And remember, everything here is none of your business.